Fellowship, and VIC stands for Vaccine Information Coalition. You're listening to Progressive Radio Network, the most listened to truth radio in the world. My name is Renee, and the title of our show is What in the Cell is Going On? We are on every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern, which can be accessed live on the front page of prn.fm or later on the front page of our vacinfo.org website. Today's guest is our co-host and my husband, Gary Tunsky, who will continue sharing the body's innate ability, the wisdom from our Creator to heal on its own. The show is titled Divine Answers to Cancer, Weapons of War is Not the Answer, which is one of the many teachings you'll be hearing in the future. Gary, why do weapons of war that the drug companies teach oncologists not the best answer for fighting cancer?
That's a great question, Renee. You can't fight cancer because there's nothing to fight. When they're fighting the so-called cancer process, they're not fighting cancer. They're fighting the tumor formation, which is the side effect of cancer process. So, and the presentation today is going to show the audience, and I wish that every one of you was an MD or oncologist, because my heart's in it also to train the oncologists and the MDs of proper science, that they're not going to be trained by drug companies because of the profits are being taken away. So if they train in true science, the weapons of war is not the answer, and that is going to be the truth that you're going to hear today. They have to implement strategies of embracing healthy principles. So the only way to reverse the cancer process is not to fight it, but to embrace healthy principles that address the cancer process. So the cancer process is the incubating disease that sometimes it goes 10, 20, 30, 40 years before the tumor forms. So when you see a tumor formation, and that's all they're trained in med school, is when the tumor forms, it's a billion cells or more. Well, they can't see a tumor if it's a half a billion, a quarter billion cells or less. So you're going to learn today also that there's five stages of cancer, the actual process of cancer, before the tumor forms. So really, when they see cancer tumors, they're looking at a tumor that's a billion cells or more. And then they stage it, stage one, two, three, or four. In my realm or my world, in the alternative medicine world, there's five stages of cancer, but even before they see the tumor. And we're going to get into what those five stages are. Last week, we had a special guest of mine and Renee's that came to us, Marcus Ellis, and he had a $400,000 bill that he had to pay to actually get the chemotherapy and radiation done and surgical procedures, and also the collateral damage that they did to him by using the chemo and radiation. And he spent $400,000 to try to cure himself, and he found out that he was killing himself instead of reversing the cancer process. So really, the side effects that are caused by the chemo and radiation are direct effects. They're not side effects. But they can't tell the oncologist that in med school and be honest, because they'd be questioning their own profession. You know, could you imagine a professor telling the 20-year-old kids, these are 20-year-old kids that are coming out of college and they want to be an MD or oncologist, and being honest with them and saying, you know, 99% of your patients you see as an oncologist that have cancer is due to chemical toxicities and chemical insufficiencies or nutritional insufficiencies. And if you're, that truth is taught, then you're going, wait a minute, professor, you're telling me that chemical assaults on the DNA through free radical damage is causing cancer tumors to form? Then what about all our drugs we use, doc? Hey, doc, what about our chemotherapy cocktails that we use that cause cancer, not treat cancer? What about our radiation infusions that we use that cause cancer? They don't treat cancer, they cause cancer. Everyone knows that is in the know, if they've done their own homework, that radiation causes cancer just by being by a detonation, right? Like an A-bomb. And they tell you to stay away from detonations 100 miles away so you don't get cancer, and they're saying that it causes cancer. Well, why would you use an agent that causes cancer to treat cancer? Why would you use an agent of chemotherapy cocktail that causes cancer to treat cancer, unless you're purposely taking them out? So I'm going to show you, the whole show today is the illicit activity that the drug companies use, the pseudoscience behind them, and also the deception that they use to get the oncologists to work for them. I mean, they're literally employees for the drug games. So Parr, Squibb, Winthrop, Pfizer, Burroughs Wellcome, it doesn't matter what university they've been to, Harvard, Baylor, Stanford, Loma Linda, Dartmouth, all the medical universities are training them to be symptomologists. And we went over this with the MD's training, that the medical doctors are trained to be symptomologists, not doctors. In oncology, they're taught to be drug, cut, burn, poison, tumor specialists, not cancer specialists. Big difference. So when you listen to Marcus Ellis, you can actually get on the archives and listen to his last week interview with us. He mentioned that he spent $25,000 in the non-toxic realm with us to reverse his cancer. That's when stage four, he's written off dead. Get your affairs ready. You got 6 months to live. And he didn't tell you that the $25,000 he spent, most of it was on his teeth. And that was the collateral damage or the direct effects of the chemotherapy damage to his gums and his teeth. He spent less than 10 with us, and we kind of built a little home treatment center. So we didn't really get into what really he had done for treatment. Last week, we didn't have time to do that. So today I'm going to get into some of the treatments that they actually do in Europe, not the U.S. Here's the sad and true part. It's illegal to treat cancer here in this country without chemo, radiation, surgery, and pharmacology. So any physician that steps outside the box, such as the Europeans or Germans or Russians or even the ones in the States, they get ostracized, they yank their license, they will even come after them and actually kill them. And they make you think that they just died of committed suicide or natural causes. So there's been over 90 physicians they've killed in the U.S., most of them are in Florida, in the last 2 years. And these are the ones in the know that I love to work with as far as being outside the box, because I'm going to stick up for you oncologists and MDs and nurses, that originally your heart was there to be a healer, and you hoped that the medical training that you received would address how to reverse cancer process someday. And I know your heart was there to think that, but then when you got into med school, you realized you've been had. And you've been taught pseudoscience, you've been taught to be a symptomologist, not a doc. So today I want to show you how to be a real doctor and how to be a healer as opposed to just drug, cut, burn, poison symptoms. We can get into also the reversing of the end stages that Marcus did. What he did was he did the chemo, yes, the radiation, and the, what's called the collateral damage or direct effects that he received. And toward the end of his treatment, they looked at him and says, "Oh, we're sorry, we didn't get it all, or our treatments didn't work." So he looked at him and said, "You know, what can I do now?" And he says, "Well, we can go to experimental treatments of stem cell therapies and bone marrow transplants and all these experimental treatments." When you hear the word experimental, that means you're a guinea pig. They don't know what it's going to do. So they're just trying it on you as a last-ditch effort to keep you alive. And I truly believe that the hearts are there, a lot of the oncologists and even the nurses. They want to get you well, but it's the wrong tools in the toolbox. When you give a gorilla a hammer and you tell him, fix my computer with the hammer, chances are he's going to do more harm than good with the hammer. And that's what's happening. When you give an oncologist chemotherapy, radiation, pharmaceuticals, and surgical procedures, the chances are with those tools in the toolbox, they're going to do more harm than good. And as you know, they do more harm than good. So you have to ask yourself, why are they killing more people than who they're helping? You know, 500,000 people die at the hands of chemotherapy and radiation and oncologists per year. That's not every 5 years. That's not every 10. That's every single year. That's equivalent to 4 to 5 747 planes crashing at 300 passengers a pop. And as Marcus mentions last week, it's 1.6, I think it's 1.6 million people a year die of cancer, but they're really dying of the chemotherapy and radiation. When a patient looks at it like an Auschwitz camp victim at 90 pounds and shriveled up, their hair's falling out and they're vomiting, that's not cancer doing that, that's chemo doing that. So they're really dying of the treatments, but it looks like they're dying of cancer because they're slowly destroying them.
What's so crazy, baby, is one of our other patients that came to us after Marcus, she actually came to us on a Tuesday, and she had already been to her oncologist, of course, and was taught, you know, what to do their way, of course, the chemo and radiation. I did not know this, and this just shows you how evil this is. She had already had them put a port in the main artery of her heart to start chemotherapy on Friday. So she comes to us on Tuesday for the first time. She has already had the port put in. She actually lifted her shirt to the side and showed me the metal piece in the main artery of her heart, which I did not know until that moment, which devastated me. And fortunately, her and her husband chose to do it naturally, and she went as an outpatient and had the port removed, and she chose to go our Creator's way of healing the cancer process, and then she came to us 3 months later in the Bahamas, and she's now cancer-free. Hallelujah.
Yeah, and that's a stage four, not a stage one, a stage four breast cancer. It was a ductal carcinoma, it's called. And she was really, though, I have to, you know, give acclimates to her, because she followed what we said. She detoxed herself. She got her pH changed to more alkaline to stifle the tumors. She boosted her immune system. And we kind of built a home treatment center in her home. So she was really diligent about following the protocol. And when she follows the protocol, the law of health kicks in. Just like the law of gravity, you can get on a 10-story building and jump off of it. I don't care who you are. You will illustrate the law of gravity, not break the law of gravity. You will illustrate the law of health if you eat burgers and McDonald's and Wendy's and Taco Bell. And they tell you in med school that food has nothing to do with cancer. It has everything to do with cancer. So why are they lied to by professors that sugar doesn't feed tumors and food has nothing to do with, or diet has nothing to do with cancer? Because they don't want them to know. Because if they knew that information that I'm going to share with you this afternoon, they can reverse the cancer, and they don't want them reversing cancer because they reverse the money. So the drug companies would lose billions and billions of dollars with sharp oncologists that know what I'm going to tell you this afternoon. But they are not allowed to use these methods because they're MDs, and they're only allowed in mainstream oncology to use chemotherapy cocktails, radiation drips, and pharmacology, and also surgical procedures. That's the only thing they're allowed to have. So I'm going to show you what's outside that box. And when the oncologists jump ship from their own mainstream training and they start learning this, they realize they can reverse the cancer process. This is no accident to tell the public and the citizens that there's no cure for cancer. They're really being honest, and they're just saying that in our realm of oncology and mainstream, there is no cure. And there never will be a cure because you cure the money. So the owners of drug companies will never allow the truth to be implemented in the academic realm. That's the truth. And you have to look, you know, past your nose on that one. Why would a drug company owner implement cures for cancer when they make billions on chemotherapy, billions on radiation, on MRIs and CT scans and blood work and urine and saliva and their x-rays? Why would they cut their own hand that feeds them when they're making billions on the disease? It's called Cancer Inc. So Cancer Incorporated is a business. It's not science. So now we're going to show you today, this afternoon, what's true science and then what's false science by the drug companies. And you're going to decide for yourself what's right and what's wrong.
What's so devastating, Gary, is they're even creating their own business. As we mentioned on many of our past radio shows, the congressional hearings Congressman Dan Burton had showing they're finding SV40, simian virus number 40, meaning the 40th monkey virus found in cancer tumors, which is what, every other person today?
Right. So 1 out of 2.5, they're saying, is dying of cancer. So you could get a room of 30 people and say, you're going to get cancer before you die. 1, 2, 2.5, you're going to get it. 1, 2.5, you're going to get it. 1, 2, 2.5, you're going to get it. 1, 2, 2.5, you're going to get it. And out of the room of 30, 13 out of 30 will be getting cancer before they die. So it was 1 out of 3,000 back in 1930. Now, how can you go from 1 out of 3,000 in 1930 around the chemical common industries when they come into play, like DuPont and Squibb, and all of a sudden it's a 1 out of 2.5 today, and we have more brilliant scientists, more brilliant oncologists, we had more brilliant research in the technological advancements in medicine, and they have a worse way worse, I'm talking 100 times worse track record now than they did in 1930 when they didn't have the science and the research. So what that's telling you is they're hiding cures. So the cures or the reversal of cancer, I'm going to implement today in this presentation to show you that what they're hiding. And so you're going to look at me and say, they're either hiding this information or Tunsky's just a quack and he's saying that these treatments work and they don't. Well, I can tell you they work because we have proof that they work. Marcus Ellis was a perfect example of that last week. We showed you somebody who was end stage, written off dead, get your affairs ready in 6 months. When he came to me, it was around the third month before the 6 month was up. And he made a office visit with his oncologist, the same one that gave him the death sentence. And within 3 months of the time that he met me, we put him on a stringent program. He was disciplined and determined, and he followed it to a T. And he decided to go on his the day that he was going to be written off dead. So he counted 6 months from the time that they gave him the death sentence, which is March 17th. He made the appointment to the oncologist to see where he's at after the natural treatments and the alternative treatments. And when he went back to get his markers done, his blood profiles, it showed no cancer. So how can you go from the end stage death sentence to reversal of cancer in 3 months naturally if it doesn't work? So that's proof right there that what we do, it works, but they're not allowed to use this in mainstream medicine. So if you're caught doing natural treatment in oncology, they'll target you, they will put you on quack watch, they will destroy you, they will take your license, or they'll just kill you, one or the other. And we have many, many instances where even a lot of our colleagues or the MDs that we know have been killed. And we have actually spoke with some of these. So you have to ask yourself, and your audience probably is thinking the same thing, why is there no cure, and there never will be a cure in mainstream oncology? We'll get into that, why there isn't. Why are they taught not to the causative factors of cancer and or tumor formation and even know what feeds them? They don't know what feeds tumors. They have no idea why a tumor forms. They have no idea how you get cancer. In fact, the best thing that they come up with after 8 to 10 years of med school is just the luck of the draw. And that's what Marcus said. That's pathetic. You're a physician and you've been in med school for 8 to 10 years and all you can come up with is the luck of the draw as a cause of cancer. Are you kidding me? So I'm just showing you that they're hiding something or they're not trained to know. They're purposely not trained to true science. And we're going to get into what that is today. Why are they not taught the 12 pathways or the 12 pillars of cancer process? We're going to get into that, what those 12 are. Why are they lied to by the professors that sugar and diet have nothing to do with feeding tumors when we know, and all the audience on this radio show knows if they've done their homework, that sugar and nutrition and diet have everything to do with cancer process. So they're saying that you eat anything you want to, eat pork chops and burgers and french fries and shakes, just get calories in you so you don't die of cachexia or emaciation. They're feeding the tumors. And to prove my point that sugar feeds tumors is their own pathology, their own pathetic pathology. Their PET scans, it's called positive emissions tomography. When they do them, they have to use a medial contrast dye. And what they do is mix the dye with sugar, glucose, in order to get the dyes soaked into the tumors. Well, why does that happen? The tumors love the sugar. So they chelate or they vector in the radioisotopes and the medial contrast dyes with the glucose. And when they infuse this to get diagnostics or images, the tumors open up their mouth and they see the dinner coming, the sugar, as a fuel, as a food source. They suck in the sugar and they suck in the dye that's bonded to that. So that's how they get their images. Well, if sugar doesn't feed tumors, then why do they use glucose as a vector? That's my question to any oncologist. I want you to tell me that. Also, too, they don't think that nutrition has nothing to do with reversing cancer. Well, between the diets and the sugar and nutritional change, doing like green juices, doing raw fruits and veggies and raw nuts and seeds and staying away from the meat, the saturated fats, and then staying away from sugar, that's huge when it comes to reversing cancer or feeding cancer. So now if you really look past your nose, you're purposely not taught as an MD or an oncologist this information, because if you knew this, you'd be implementing strategies of dietary changes that would reverse the cancer and kill the profit margins of drug companies. So actually, your employee, and I hate to tell you this, and nobody likes to know that they've been duped, but I'm going to tell you right now, MDs and oncologists that are online, the training you had, 8 to 10 years of MD Anderson, we call them Murder Doctors Incorporated, and Slaughter and Killing, I mean Sloan and Kettering. Any university that you've been to get your training is teaching you that the tumor is the cancer, that you drug and cut and burn and poison the tumors and you cure the cancer. That's pathetic. Because if you even remove every cancer cell in the body and the tumor formation, you just cut out the side effect. You didn't cut out the cancer. You can't cut out cancer. How can you cut out carcinogens? How can you cut out acid pH? How can you drug, cut, and burn and poison immunosuppression? How can you remove heavy metals from drug cutting and burning and poisoning? How can you reduce inflammation with chemotherapy and radiation? How can you deal with nutritional deficiencies? You can't fight cancer because you're fighting not an object. So when they're fighting an object called the tumor formation, they're fighting the symptom of cancer, not the cancer. We're going to get into that also, the details of how what the cancer process is and how the tumors form. While you're not trained in the five stages of oncology, there's actually five stages of cancer before the tumor even forms. I'm going to get into that real quick. First stage of cancer process would be excretion. The body's trying to detoxify the carcinogens that will cause the damage to the DNA strand, which can cause the mutation to start. Number two of the invisible cancer process would be bad cell accumulation, where the body starts to produce cancer cells, which are bad cells, healthy cells gone bad, actually. They're not a new cell. They're a healthy cell gone bad. We're going to get into how that happens also. Number three process of cancer would be reaction phase, where the tissue inflames. So all of the itises that you hear about, colitis, nephritis, dermatitis, sinusitis, hepatitis, carditis, all the itises are inflammation of. So when you hear the word itis at the end, that's stage three of cancer process. Stage four of cancer, now remember, there's no tumor formation yet. So in stage one, no tumors, stage two, no tumors, stage three, no tumors, stage four is degeneration where fibrous tissue forms. And that's where you get your cysts and your pulps and your lipomas that are starting, but not a tumor formation. Then it hits five. The fifth stage of cancer process would be a deposition phase just before the tumor starts to form. The deposition phase will cause a accumulation of fibrous tissue and free-floating cancer cells, but not a tumor formation yet. And then we got the tumor formation called neoplasm. And then from the tumor formation, if that metastatic bubble pops, now you got a spreading going on between the pustulence and dried blood and mucus and infectious components and cancer cells everywhere. They spill back to the blood. They spill back to the lymphatic tissues and lymphatic fluids. And now you're really in trouble because you just birthed another tumor. Well, they love that. They got double the income now, the oncologists, and double the profits as a drug big pharma center that manufactures chemo and radiation. So they create their own business by not only poking at the bubble, which the body creates intelligently as a capsule, a cocoon, a bubble, that the body grows a fibrinogen protein wrap around the mutations to stop the metastatic spread. That's the purpose of it, to keep you alive as a last-ditch effort. And the very thing oncologists do is poke at the bubble with a biopsy. And they just spilled the cancer cells and the dried blood and mucus and pustulence and toxins from the cocoon right back to the blood. And they spread it and they cause another tumor, like Renee says. So they're causing their own business. Now, whether they know it or not, there's no excuse. It's 2018. Now, I can see if it was 1950, they didn't have the research. They didn't have the knowledge that they have back then as they do now. I can see them being ignorant to that. There's no excuse for an oncologist to not even know the sugar feeds tumors. It's called sugar fermentation, a sugar glycolysis. And for the oncologists that are online, if you want to really know this, punch in sugar glycolysis or sugar fermentation causing tumors to grow in the Google and see what pops up. And punch in Dr. Otto Warburg. He's a two-time Nobel Prize winner, MD. He's one of your colleagues, but he's a two-time Nobel Prize winner, which obviously you're not. So that's the physicians that you study and you learn from. You don't learn from Parr, Squibb, and Winthrop, and Pfizer, and MD Anderson, and Slaughter, and Killingham, and Sloan, and Kettering. Those universities will never teach the truth. They don't know it. And if the professors did know it, which they don't, they wouldn't tell you anyways because you cut the throat of the big pharma's profits if you're a healer. So if you can cure disease, you cure the money. So that's the reality of it. They will never allow any cures. I'm talking no cures, and that's where there is none. You have to question. It's been, 70, 80 years since Hitler brought in Zyklon B. It's a nerve gas. And this, the daughter substances of the nerve gas is mustard gas. And they used that research in 1930 to 40 to find out that chemotherapy kills tumors, but it also kills you. So they're thinking, what a great tool to use. They can kill the patients while they kill the tumors and destroy the liver and kidneys and heart and brain. And now you've got collateral damage that can be implemented with strategies of more drugs, other surgeries, other procedures that you have to do to fix the damage that's been done by the chemo and radiation. Anybody who wants to know the damage that these chemo agents do, punch in the Google engine or WebMD and punch in the drug name, hit the Google search, and punch in contraindications of mustergen, contraindications of cytotoxin, contraindications of methotrexate, the contraindications of BCNU. And they even kid around in the oncology wards. There's a drug called BCNU, and that's abbreviation for a long chemotherapy agent. And another one is called 5-fluorosil, which they abbreviated as 5-FU. So they kid around in the oncology wards, BCNU 5 feet under, 5-FU under. And they kid around like that because they know the deaths that occur. They see it firsthand every day in the oncology wards. And if anybody's been in a cancer treatment center or an oncology ward delivering chemo, you can smell the death. And you can smell the necrotic tissues and all of the, just the smell of death is just permeating throughout the whole air of the whole hospital. So why would you use something that causes cancer to treat cancer is my question to anybody listening, including MDs and including oncologists. They don't have a clue that oxygen or ozone therapy can reverse cancer or kill cancer cells. And to prove my point, there's only one organ you'll never, ever see a tumor formation. Heart. The heart, the pericardial sac might get a tumor. That's the outside of the heart. But inside the heart, the cardiac tissue, the cardiac aorta, the ventricles, the tricuspid valves, the interior of the heart, you'll never see a tumor formation because of the richness of oxygen. So obviously, oxygen kills cancer cells, and that's one of the treatments that you would use to reverse cancer. So as you know, you have access, as an MD and oncologist, you have access to pure oxygen of a nasal cannula and also hyperbaric chambers. Well, why aren't you using that? If you're trained to reverse cancer, or at least trying, why wouldn't you use hyperbaric? Why wouldn't you use ozone therapy? The Germans do. And there's a few physicians in Arizona that they've been fathered in the ozone therapy in that state. But most states don't allow ozone because it works. And I'm going to get into some of the ozone treatments that they do in Germany and Russia and even France. They think that they can fight the tumor and cure the cancer. If you even drug, cut, burn, or poison the tumor and say they get it all, you still have cancer. Say, doc, what are you doing to treat the cancer after you drug, cut, burn, poison the cocoon, the bubble, the intelligent encapsulation called the tumor? That's my question. You're cutting out the symptom and drugging and cutting and burning and poisoning the symptom of cancer, not getting to the cancer. So it'd be like having a lawn where you never water it, you never rotate the crops, you never change the topsoil, you leave the soil clay, you leave no minerals in the soil, and all of a sudden, boom, weeds pop up. Well, your solution to go over there and clip the weeds, not uproot it, but clip it. And you think you fix the solution. You leave, you go home. A week later, you come back to the same lawn, never watered it, never changed the soil, never used Miracle-Gro. You never used manure to rotate, to get the soil and the richness of the grass. You have dry, straw-like grass, and the weeds are going to come back, and they're bigger, and they grow faster. Why is that? You never watered the grass stalks. You never treated the soil. You never put minerals in the soil. You never use manure or compost. So if you don't detoxify the human body, if you don't change the pH from acid to alkaline, you don't modulate or boost the immune system, not destroy it, boost it. If you don't deal with nutritional deficiencies, which you have no knowledge, there is no training in medicine, and not none of them. None of them know about nutrition because they're trained not to know, because that works. So there's 3 hours of elective classes that they have. And when they take nutritional classes as an MD or even oncology, they're taught what's a protein, what's a carb, what's a fat. They're not taught the details of what is essential fatty acids, what is a glycal sugar or a glycal lipid, what is the carbohydrates, polysaccharides, monosaccharides, what structure of water to drink. None of that detailed information is taught in oncology or even in medical wards for their training. So that just shows you they don't want you to know the answers to cancers. So the very things that work to reverse the cancer process we're going to get into, and they will never use those strategies because they're not trained to know. Now, a few of my colleagues that have been outside the box MDs that have jumped ship, they realize they've been had med school. And those are the ones that are true doctors, because not only do they have trauma training and crisis care training behind the belt. So if you had a broken bone or you had a aneurysm or you had bleeding going on, they have the knowledge to cauterize. They have the knowledge to graft your skin if you burn your arm in the fire. But they also have the knowledge to implement strategies that are healthy principles to reverse the cancer process. So that's a perfect doctor when you know both sides of the coin. Very rare, though, because the ones that even jump ship and learn this edge that I'm telling you is going to be ostracized. Their license is going to be taken from them. They'll be threatened and even murdered if that has to be. If they're too boisterous and they open their mouth too long and open it up to too many people and get too big, they're a target for the medical mafia, we call it. They think that genetics are a huge play in cancer. Oh, it's in the genes. It's genes, germs, and worms theory. It's in the genes, it's not in the germs, and it's not in the worms. Now, the genetic factor would be epigenetics, and this is Bruce Lipton's work. Dr. Bruce Lipton, if you want to Google him, he's a PhD, and he wrote a book called The Biology of Belief. And in his book, he proves that epigenetics, is the outside influences of the genetic expressions, not the gene itself. So the negative expression would be your mom screaming at you, I hate you, or your dad, or you telling somebody I hate them. You're depressed that day. You have lack of water. Hydration status is low. Your nutritional status is extremely low. Compromised immunity. Those would be negative hits on the gene. Not the gene is the factor. It's the expressions upon the gene, whether they're positive or negative. So the truth is the variables are in the thousands every day. From the time you wake up to the time you go to bed, your genes are being hit by what's been said to you that day, what you're saying to someone else, the oxygen status that you're taking. Are you depressed? Are you joyful? Are you happy? Are you sad? All these variables hit the gene either negatively or positively. So let's say the gene's been hit 15,000 that day. Out of the 15,000 hits, 10,000 are positive and 5,000 are negative. The gene will, the cell will actually develop positively, which is cell regeneration, restoration. If there's 10,000 genes that are negative hits and only 5,000 positive, it will express negatively that day where the cell would degenerate and go into the basement and causing disease process. So again, it's not in the genetics, in the genes you've been had. Genes have nothing to do with illness outside of maybe 5% of the totality of a cancer process. And if you look in the genetic factors, even the families, they have no correlation to what the son has or what the daughter has. A lot of times the mother never had cancer and they got it as a daughter or son. Well, where's the genetics on that? Or their father never had cancer and they got it. So there's other things involved outside of the genes we're going to get into today. They treat cancer tumors like you have a deficiency in chemotherapy, radiation, or surgery. You don't have a deficiency in chemotherapy any more than you have a deficiency in Prozac if you're depressed. Or if you have heart problems, or let's say angina pain, you're not deficient in nitroglycerin. You don't have a drug deficiency. You have nutritional deficiencies, not drug deficiency. You have chemical toxicity that's wrapping around the cell, that's suffocating the cell and stopping respiration. You don't have a drug deficiency like they train you to believe. So the tumor formation, again, the audience needs to know this is not the new cancer. When they name a cancer tumor in the body, that's not a new cancer. It's a new tumor, which the tumor is not the cancer. It's the side effect, the cocoon, the bubble, the fibrinogen protein wrap that has grown to wrap around the mutations to stop metastatic spreads. So this is an intelligent system to keep you alive, not the cancer. So when they name the tumor, I'll give you an example, melanoma. That's a tumor formation in the skin. They call it squamous or basal, depending on what layer of the skin that the tumor is in. But if you say take that same tumor formation and you move it into the lymphs, you have a lymphoma now instead of a melanoma. So lymphoma is measured as Hodgkin's, non-Hodgkin's. And then they treat the cancer, the aggressiveness, stage 1, 2, 3, and 4, based on is it just local, encapsulated? Is the tumor spreading in neighboring tissues and lymphatic nodes? Is it spreading to distant regions, which is the metastatic spreads? So it's stage 1, 2, 3, and 4 severity. In my eyes, because I know cancer process and stages go 5 before the tumor forms. So when the tumor forms, that's stage 6, not stage 1. So again, oncology is wrong in the training. Now, you got to look at me and say, Tonsky, you're not an oncologist, and I'm not. Tonsky, you've never been to med school. Yeah, I haven't. Thank God I haven't. You're brainwashed to the point where you're brain dead as an oncologist. And I'm proving my point today. If you think that chemotherapy can cure cancer, I got some swampland to sell you in Alaska. That's how pathetic that is. Chemotherapy causes cancer. How can you say that treating cancer with cancer-causing agents can cure cancer? Are you kidding me? It's like someone swallowing cyanide accidentally and poisoning themselves, and your solution is to bring them cyanide as treatment. You're going to treat cyanide poisoning with cyanide? You're going to treat cancer with chemotherapy that causes cancer? Are you kidding me? Radiation causes cancer, docs. They tell you to stay away from detonations and A-bombs 100 miles away, and you're using that to treat cancer? No wonder you're killing the patients. So they're dying of the treatments. They're not dying of cancer. They're dying of the chemotherapy agents. They're dying of the radiation. They're dying of the pharmaceuticals. They're dying of the surgical botched up surgical procedures. So they're not dying of cancer. Now they think the family does, and I can't believe that oncologists think they're dying of cancer when they see the damage they're doing to these patients when they deliver chemo. But the parents do, and the people that have cancer think they're dying slowly of cancer when they're dying of the treatments, not knowing it. So when you destroy your heart and your liver and kidneys and your brain and your bone marrow and thymus gland and spleen from the chemotherapy and radiation, you're killing you while you kill the tumors. You don't kill the patient while you kill the tumors. That's like having a nuclear bomb unleashed to a city with your premise of killing your enemies by blowing out the trees and blowing out the buildings and blowing out the streets. Blowing up the whole city, you get your enemies and your allies all at one time. You kill everybody. Oh, at least I got my enemy. Or you could be smart. You wait till midnight and you wait till your enemy goes to sleep and you dress up like your enemy. You take a glass of cyanide and you carry it into it and you have them drink it while they're sleeping and you walk away. You kill your enemy. You don't kill the allies. You don't kill the buildings. You don't destroy the trees. You don't destroy the whole city. That's the way you would treat cancer. You kill the tumors, but not kill the patient. And there's not one treatment on oncology, not one, that doesn't kill healthy cells in addition to the cancer cells. And not only do that, but build the tolerance to the existing cancer cells. Well, the cancer cells get stronger now, and you're getting weaker. So you're getting 3 times weaker by this destruction from the chemo and radiation and surgeries and anesthesia and morphine and everything they use from the surgery. And the vaccines that they're injecting in you, and this is from childhood on, flu shots, tetanus, DPT, MMR. This is Renee's presentation.
And even generational vaccine damage we cover in our presentation. Our mom's vaccines, our grandparents' vaccines. They've been vaccinating since the 1700s. So, you know, it's pretty obvious to me as a parent that they're setting up their own business. I mean, they're causing the cancer with the monkey viruses from the vaccinations. And then, of course, they're feeding the cancer with the sugar. And then they're poisoning you with the poison, the chemotherapy and radiation. I mean, it's just insane what kind of a money-making business it has become, Gary.
Right. And not only with the vaccines, but they hit you with a 1-2 punch. They poison the blood with toxic adjuvants like aluminum, mercury, cadmium, lead, polysorbate 60, formaldehyde, formalin, your heavy metals. And in addition to the monkey viruses that they're using to attenuate, they're using sick monkey tissue from the kidneys. They're using rhesus monkey, they're using horse blood for the plasma to do a DPT culturing. So what they don't tell you is they're crossbreeding DNA. They're recombining the monkey viruses and horse blood and calf serum and human diploid tissue with human bacteria and virus. What do you get when you cross a human virus or bacteria with a monkey virus or bacteria? You get a hybrid, a recombinant, a recombining. And the hybrids that they're instituting are foreign DNA. When you shoot foreign DNA to the blood, you bypass the nose and the mouth, which is what the proper way the immune system works. If you're immunology and you're trained truly in true immunology, you would know that the method of exposure is extremely important, how the foreign antigen enters the body. If it enters through the skin or directly to the blood, you bypass red alert, you bypass orange alert, you bypass yellow alert and blue alert. And when your blood gets hit with these carcinogens from the vaccination, in fact, they don't even do cancer research. They tell you on the inserts, they're not tested for carcinogenic or carcinogenicity. Well, that means they're not doing any trials or human studies or safety studies with cancer process, with vaccines. So they're scared to find out that it is cancer causing. That's why they don't do the studies. Just like you never see a study of a non-vaccinated individual versus a vaccine population. You'll never see it. That's all they have to do to prove the vaccines can't work and they don't work. They're poison. They wipe out the immune system. They don't build it. They give you toxic adjuvants directly to the blood, and the blood can't vomit. You can't regurgitate. You can't eliminate these poisonous adjuvants like the stomach can vomit. You can have diarrhea. You can eliminate through the skin through profuse sweating. But when it hits the blood has to dump these carcinogens in a weak link in the chain of organs. And the heavy metals have an attraction to highly electrical tissues. That's the reason why there's a lot of autoimmune responses where the body's attacking itself. The heavy metals are dumped in the brain, highly electrical. They're dumped in the glial cells. They're dumped in the central nervous system, the Schwann cells, which build the myelin sheaths. They're dumped in the heart. They're dumped in the meninges, the spinal cord. Wherever the weak link is in that child or that adult is where the bond is going to occur between the mercury, lead, and cadmium that they inject in you with the actual cell, the brain cell, the myelin sheath cell, the nerve cell, the heart cell, and so forth. And when the bond happens, you get an immunocomplex creation, and then the immune system says, I need to attack that foreign antigen connected to the brain cell, the myelin sheath, and the nervous system, the dendrites, the neuronal bodies. And you get an autoimmune attack to get rid of the foreign antigen that's connected there, just like a Siamese twin. So when the body attacks the cell that's bonded to the heavy metal, it takes a piece of its own with it. So you get a cellular damage from an autoimmune response. So the autoimmune response is not accidental. It's purposely done by the vaccinations. That's big business for big pharma, creating another illness. And you got to think past your nose, people, and listen to what I'm saying. It makes common sense. You can't argue with it. You can't twist it. The actual factor of Cancer Inc. or Diabetes Inc. or Cardiovascular Disease Inc. is to create the illness and maintain the illness. You never get to the root and never train to get to the root of the disease. And you just become a symptomologist. You're just a drug cut burn poison symptom specialist, not a cancer specialist, or not a diabetic specialist, not a heart specialist. You're just a cardiologist that is a symptomologist. You drug cut burn poison symptoms of heart disease. As an oncologist, you drug cut burn poison tumors of the disease. And the tumor is not the cancer. It's a side effect, just like murmurs and arrhythmias is a side effect, not the heart disease. Angina pain, a symptom. It's not the disease. So they're trained in symptomology to get to the symptoms, which are not in the disease, rather than having the knowledge to what the root cause of the cancer is, what the root cause of heart disease, what the root cause of diabetes, what's the root cause of arthritis. They're not trained to know. Because if they did, they'd be losing billions of profits based on the physicians actually healing these people and reversing the disease. Number one, the tumor, again, we mentioned this, is repackaged 200 different ways. Instead of saying there's 200 different types of cancer, there's 200 different types of tumors. Again, the tumor is not the cancer. So when you hear a melanoma, a skin tumor, move that same tumor around to lymphoma, the same tumor moved over into connective tissue like the joints and the bone, so osteosarcoma. If you move that same tumor in behind the eye, it's erythrocytoma. If you move that same tumor into the brain where the glial cells are, glioblastoma. So all the omas are not new cancers. They're the same. They're the same cancer process from head to toe systemically, but they use their techno jargon, Dr. Nee's language, to describe the tumor formation, not a new cancer. I hope everyone understands that simplicity. They even teach that all the itises are different. Colitis is different than nephritis, is different than sinusitis, is different than dermatitis, is different than nephritis, encephalitis. They're all the same. It's inflammation of. So inflammation of the brain is encephalitis. Inflammation of the kidney tissue is nephritis. Inflammation of the skin is dermatitis. Inflammation of the ear is otitis media. Inflammation of the brain, encephalitis. And inflammation of the heart is carditis. So they make you believe these are all new diseases and different. They're all the same. Now you have to look at me today and say, Tunsi's right and all of medical profession is wrong, or Tunsi's just a lunatic thinking he's right. One or the other. This is 180 degrees diametrically opposed to method and process, what I'm talking about. So someone's right here and someone's wrong. The factor of how cancer happens, and this is not trained in med school. Again, they're not trained to know how cancer factors in. So how does the process or etiology or pathophysiology happen? The carcinogens come in through the skin through injection for vaccines, or if you're a drug addict, heroin, cocaine, if you're injecting meth and things like that, those are all carcinogens that hit the blood. Then you have eating and drinking and breathing and bathing and putting in your skin and rubbing in your scalp day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. The compounding toxicities through the blood, through vaccines, through the food, through beverages, through hygiene products, skin creams, shampoos, conditioners, it goes on and on. Those accumulate and they compound, and the liver can't keep up with it. The kidneys cannot excrete it. The skin through sweat is eliminated or limited. The lymphatic nodes are congested. You're not moving. You're sedentary. You're not sweating. You're not defecating because you're constipated. And you're not drinking enough water and hydrating to allow the urinary process to eliminate. So when that happens, when the blood loads up, you're in trouble. When the blood loads up with these carcinogens and contaminants that cause cancer, the body goes, hey, we got to dump this poison from the bloodstream out of the life force into a non-priority tissue or non-vital organ. That's why these carcinogens end up in organs. Now, they first end up a lot of times in your fingers or your wrists, carpal tunnel. The fingers are rheumatoid arthritis. If you end up in your toes, it's gout. If the poisons and carcinogens end up in your knees, osteoarthritis. If they end up in your heart, cardiovascular disease. If they end up in your frontal lobe of the brain, Alzheimer's. It starts with some timers and then goes Alzheimer's. So the staging going on is severity of the cell malfunctions. So cancer is a last ditch effort to keep you alive. It's the last stage of cellular damage where the DNA gets damaged. So I'll make it simple here. The DNA has four letters in the alphabet, ATGC. adenine, thymine, guanine, and cytosine. Now, let's make it simple. Those four letters, like our 26 letters, let's make it LIVE. So the cell is told to die and replicate and replace itself with LIVE and go live. Well, during the transcription, it starts printing LIVE, the carbon monoxide, chemtrails, alcohol, cigarettes, a free radical hits the DNA strand while it's replicating. Instead of printing out a healthy live cell, it goes evil, EVIL. Same letters, and they're twisted around when they get hit, so they produce a vile cell, VILE, evil cell, EVIL, instead of live, LIVE. Now the healthy cell flips off the track and proliferates into a cancer cell, which is an evil cell. Now that human cancer cell that starts at one will split and divide as daughter cells to two cancer cells, then four, then 8, then 16, and 32, and 64, 128, 256, exponentially doubling. Well, the immune system at that time is compromised, and it's trying to chew on toxins or trying to take out bacteria or virulent virus or mycoplasma or fungal forms, and it can't get over there to gobble it up to stop the mutation. So when the proliferation starts, the runaway train, if you will, the body's way of stopping it is growing a fibrinogen protein wrap around the mutated cancer cells and the pustulence and toxins and dried blood and mucus and whatever's there, encapsulates it and cocoons it like a bubble to stop the metastatic spread from happening. Well, just like Renee said, the first thing they do is biopsy. They poke at it. Why would you poke at a cocoon if you know you're trained correctly and you know that information I just told you? Why would you needle biopsy a tumor and spill it back into the blood if you're not purposely trying to create another tumor or another cancer? So the poor patients think it's just the same cancer or a new one because their genetics are weak. That's what they're told. And so they accept the new tumor or accept the metastatic spread when the reality is the oncologist caused it or the radiologist. In fact, the radiologists, they're in a full mop gear when they deliver it. They're in rubber shoes, rubber gloves, and chemotherapy is so toxic and so caustic and acid forming, it'll burn a hole through your shoe. And they're sticking a port, like Renee says, in your heart and delivering these caustic agents right directly to your cardiac tissue. Are you kidding me? Your license should be taken if you're that stupid. So here you have damage to the heart, cardiac tissue, you have damage to the liver and damage to the kidneys by the chemotherapy. And that damage, they're not telling you, is actually causing another procedure, another drug to fix it. So now you got perpetrated business, not science. So I'm going to actually do another show on this and continuous.
This is just part one, guys. Yeah. We're running out of time now. Gary, you're brilliant, and you're my husband, and that's why I love you, because you're absolutely brilliant on the simplicity of the cancer process, as well as all diseases. And just to put a note out there about our presentations, we do free presentations all over the world titled What in the Cell is Going On. My message is the appetizer. His is the meal, I call it. Showing all this simplicity of every cellular malfunction, including cancer, including autism. We make it extremely clear how it all happens and how it can be reversed our Creator's way. Now, anyone that wants to get a hold of Gary, himself, and speak with him individually, you can contact him toll-free by calling 888-863-1733 is his toll-free number. His website is P as in Paul, H, CellTox, that's CELL, T as in Tom, OX as in X-ray, .com. And just forewarning, because obviously the powers that be don't like him very much because he is reversing the cancer process for people that comply, we have a membership form. You have to come, put in an email address and make up a passcode and all that great stuff to get into Gary's website. So we've had to do that to protect him from the powers that be. And if you go to our other website, our other ministry website, vacinfo.org, V as in Victor, A C, I, N as in Nancy, F as in Frank, O.org, click on the treatment link and you'll have free access to my husband's wisdom, as well as it'll lead you to his website. So that's two different options if you'd like to contact him directly. And then also, we will be continuing this subject. This was just part one. He is my co-host and my husband, Gary Tunsky. You can YouTube him, T-U-N as in Nancy, S as in Sam, K-Y, T as in Tom, U-N-S-K-Y. You can go to YouTube and put his name in and watch tons of teachings of his even before I met him. So we just ask you to hang in there and be ready for more shows as we lack, if we lack a weekly guest, because we are on weekly every Monday at 2 p.m. So the times that we have, you know, are very busy and have short notice to get a guest on, you will be hearing the wisdom of my husband. This subject will be continued next week. Again, you're listening to PRN.FM, Progressive Radio Network, and we are VIC Fellowship, Vaccine Information Coalition. So please tune in next Monday, 2 p.m. to continue this subject. Our contact number is 800-939-8227. And as I mentioned before, the website's vacinfo.org, V as in Victor, A-C-I-N, F as in Frank, O.org. On the front page, under the little boy flexing his muscles, you can click on the What in the Cell is Going On link to see all of our past shows. There's a second page, so make sure you click on the bottom that says to hear more. But we need support, and we appreciate everybody for listening, and we welcome you back next week. And most of all, thank Progressive Radio Network, Gary Null, and all of you, Jesse, everybody that's allowing us to get this truth out. And we just respect and thank you so very much. And that's all I have to say about that. We'll see you next week. God bless everyone.